Recording? Okay, great. Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the Monroe City Council meeting for March 10th of 2015. The time right now is about 7:03 p.m. And Ms. Stark, will you call the roll, please?
Council members present and establishing a quorum are Andrews, Hedback, Rasmussen, and Davis.
Thank you. And I did receive a phone call just before the meeting started from Councilmember Gamble indicating that he would be here late tonight. He has a family medical emergency that hopefully isn't as bad as it is. And then we also have Councilmember Gearing sent an email indicating that he also would be late. Is that correct? Okay. So with that said, Councilmember Cuddeback, will you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? Thank you.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item that we have on our agenda this evening is under announcements and presentations, and this is H3O. Come on up and please state your name just for the record.
Greg Dick from H3O Development, and my partner Chris Hogan is here with me also tonight.
Thank you.
We have printed presentations. We'll pass around. It's about 5 pages. And then I have the same thing up on the screen here, if you'd like. Thanks, Brad. That's good. So in an effort to keep the city updated, we want to come in and update you where we're at right now with the cable park. So I will start off with a slide here. Most of you are familiar with the park. If there is any questions, I'll save them for the end and then go through it with you then.
What? There we go.
Perfect. So quick update, we've been working on it for 4 years, which most of you know. I think it was May of 2012, I believe, was when we started the project. Maybe a little bit before that. We spent over $350,000 going through the approval process, deposits on a building, such and such. I'll touch on that a little bit. We overcame unexpected delays of local, state, federal agencies. As most of you know, we ran into the Department of Ecology, some approvals we needed with them, the Army Corps of Engineers, the Trump for Swan Society, which have all been mitigated. All approvals are in place. We've been paying rent since October of 2013 with no guarantees of these approvals or permits. So that was, we've been good on that. And then we finally got approvals to proceed, the Army Corps of Engineers, in August of 2014, which gave us, I'll touch on this a little bit, it gave us about 4 months to get these approvals. And when we say that, is that in order to open it up going into summer, we would run short on time. So in other words, we don't want to open the park in October to winter and have no business. So when we say 4 months, that's that short window of we need to get this going now. So we're on a tight timeline to get these investors for this summer. And then all necessary permits and approvals have now been obtained. But we mitigated with the Trump for Swan Society. Oakland's a good example. We have our grading permit right now. So that's where we're at on the initial where we are today. The current status.
The next page here.
We needed to replace the original investors. When I came in, when Brad and I came in last year, right towards the end of the year, I believe it was, we lost these investors due to timeline delays. And basically it came down to, when we first came in, we had a signed lease with you, we moved forward, the Army Corps Engineer just had stamped off on the project, we were ready to go. This investor's ready to go, we told him this is when we're going to break ground, and of course we ran into the Department of Ecology, and then the mitigation of the Trump for Swan Society. And then the Army Corps Engineers came back in and started reviewing again. And during that time, during the Army Corps Engineers review, was the sequestration. So they were shut down for, I think it was 30 days. And of course, our project got shelved because it wasn't one of the priorities on their plate. We lost our investor through that process. So it's easier to acquire. What we're proposing is we come in and it's easier to acquire investors. Well, we've gone out and approached this project. The biggest hurdles we've had is one, the environment. You go and you show these investors that, hey, look, there's 80 to 100 of these parks in Germany, but Germans are accustomed to cable parks. When you talk about boating, over there, or when you talk about wakeboarding or water skiing or water sports, they think of a cable. They don't think of a boat like we do here in the U.S. So that's been one hurdle. We go to investors down south when the warmer climates are obviously concerned about the weather. And here, I know, I'm a participant. We're a seasoned crew. We're used to, you get a sunny day like we have right now, it's unseasonable weather, we have the ability to open. And with social media now, you can open the week before. We know our weather window for next weekend right now. We can say, hey, we're going to shoot out a media blast to all of our customers. We can be open this weekend. We're already seeing it. There's a two-way park up north in Bellingham. It's called Bow Lake. It's a small private lake. And they have a two-way, which is the cable you saw. There's the System 2, we call it on ours. That's the brand that we offer. That's what they label there. And this is a System 2 that's set up there. And they're doing it right now. They're blasting out. Of course, no one's going up the ski hill right now, or not as many people because the snow conditions aren't ideal. There's a lot of people going to the lakes right now. So it's been really good. What we'll propose tonight is a phased approach, where we come in, we're to put the cable in. We were to put in to set up and improve the facility where the building's going to go. Then the second year we come in and put in the dock feature. And then the third year we come in and put in the parking lot. And I go more towards a phased approach versus coming to everything at once. It's quite a big bite to take for an investor to come in at the $1.8 million mark, which is where about our project is. Now, we're confident in the mark, and you go to other projects, you want to keep it under $2 million. So it's not that this project is out of realm. It's just with the hurdles that we have and that there's not a cable park in the Northwest yet. This is the weather concerns, everything I spoke of. So that's what we're going to propose to you now, and that's what you'll see on the next page here, the next slide. What we also want to discuss is it's continue to paying rent. Now, per our lease agreement, once we reach a certain date, again, we thought everything was in line, we would pay rent, which we've lived up to that agreement. And that's where we're at today, where we would forego this rent until the first day we open up the park, is what we'll propose. So the next slide here is the proposed amendments. I can talk about suspend rent until park is revenue capable. If not revenue capable by a certain date, we put in here is 12/31/2017, city can terminate the agreement. And this is at your discretion, or it would be your option. And then again, like I talked about, allow a phased approach. So we'd open without, say, a building. Now, when I say without a building, obviously we have a structure. There'd be a building there. It would look nice. We're not just going to open up and run out there every day with all the equipment. But we would have a facility. It's a portable or a mobile facility that would be ADA compliant. It would be a building that, and then an outbuilding, a storage building also with that. And then we would come in with the bioswale. We'd do site improvements the second year. And again, this is just a proposal. We were open to other suggestions. And then the parking lot and so on and so on. I think the building would come after the parking lot. And then if the building bioswale and parking lot improvements are not completed within 5 years of the park being revenue capable, city can terminate the agreement upon this. So in other words, there still would be some out clauses for the city. In consideration of the park with other communities, so we talked about a community day earlier on. In consideration for doing this or in a trade, we'd love to have a community day. In other words, you bring your ID in, you're from the city of Monroe, you want to ride at the park, we have this community that's advertised. Bring the whole community out. This would either be late in the season, early in the season, wherever we feel would be best as a city and us to bring people out. Obviously, if you're new to the cable park, we want the water to be a little bit warmer. We want to make this an inviting day. So this would be a good day for both us and the city. I want to talk a little bit on the next slide about accomplished milestones. I came in tonight, and we want to keep the communication open between us and the city so you know where we're at. The wheels are spinning 100 miles an hour. We're working our tails off the other end. Presentations. There's a group out of Orlando, Florida. It's called Action Parks. They currently own the Orlando Water Sports Complex and Miami Water Sports Complex, which are currently opening the end of this month. Will be their grand opening. They've expressed a lot of interest in this project in coming up here. They already run these other parks. They have the systems in place. The Orlando Water Sports Complex is one of the leading parks in the United States. So I think it would be great for the city of Monroe, and it would be great for H3O. So they'd come in as an investor. There's $350,000 that we've spent so far, and we've done it over the past 3 to 4 years. Obviously, the last 2 to 3 of those was where we spent the most, with our CEPA report, which is approved. The ecology and shoreline conditional use is approved through the city. We have that our lease is signed. Obviously, you're familiar with that. The tower system is laid out, which all of you have seen. And then also the building, parking, and grading designs, which everyone has seen all of those also. The grading permit, I talked about a little bit. And deposits. We have deposits on both the building in order to get architectural plans, and then the same thing with the cable park, very similar to the building. We had to put a deposit down on that to get architectural plans. And then the final permitting, Army Corps approval is in. And I guess the only thing, Chris, is there anything that you want to add to this? There's one other thing that I did include in here is the, I'll let you speak. I think I missed a couple things. You jump in.
Well, the major one, just to add it, is that we have spent the last few weeks working with contractors and scouting out what a phase one site would look like. So it would, we now have pretty good firm estimates on costs and grading and what it would take to actually make a nice site with some of the minimalistic approaches to it. And it significantly is reducing what we would need to get this thing up and running. So we would need, you know, half the money or less of what we were seeking for. That way we can get it up, we can get the proof of concept, we can prove that there is the demographic out here with the snowboarders crossed over with the water sports people, and prove to the rest of the investor community that we can do the most, we can get more in. The important part of that too, though, is that if we are correct, and we've updated the plans, we're really only foregoing, without having a big building to start with, we're only foregoing retail, which quite frankly for us is low margin. It's good for the retailers, it's only so-so for us. We don't think we're going to impact the amount of gate receipts of people coming in. So we still think we're going to generate majority of the revenue that we wanted to, and the park will then have the ability to start self-funding itself. We were originally going to be just handing out all profits, going directly out to the investors and getting the money back. If we do this phased approach, we'll have the flexibility to return some, keep some, and use the park's assets, the profits, to go fund these new phases of the building, the minus world, the parking lot, et cetera. So that's pretty much, you know, what we're trying to shoot for. We're trying to, you know, ask the city to go into a shared risk mode with us. That's really the only way we're going to be able to go bring this off the ground. We've already been putting a lot of money in pre-revenue, and we can't keep doing it until we figure out a way to go ahead and we really can't pay anymore until we figure out a way to get this thing open. So we're looking forward to hopefully, you know, shared risk, shared reward kind of opportunity.
Thank you.
Without further questions?
Can you go ahead and put it on the previous slide? I think it was the previous slide. Okay. Council, do you have any questions here tonight? And certainly a decision there. This is a presentation tonight. We'll have an opportunity to bring this back to a later agenda to go over this. But tonight we do have representatives from H3O here. So if you've got any questions or what have you, this would be an appropriate thing to do right now. So, Councilmember Cutback.
Thank you guys for coming in. I wasn't here the last...
I'm sorry. I'm going to interrupt for... I am so sorry. I'd like the record to reflect that Councilmember Camp came in at about 7.05 p.m. and Councilmember Gamble came in at about 7.08 p.m. So they are both sitting here as we begin this. Councilmember Cutterback.
I missed the last presentation. I can't remember where I was, but I missed that council meeting. So I appreciate the update. Couple questions. I understand, you know, the desire for the phased approach. It makes sense. Have you guys done a pro forma to kind of see about what you would need at the gate and how much you would be saving to, you know, put into building some of these things and what the timeline would be? Have you drilled down the details?
We have, from both the construction side and then also the revenue generating side. So once a park does open, we have a business side of it, what we would miss out, like Chris had spoke about, the retail sales and what that would impact us, which was not a big number. But what one concern is the group parties and the group events. When we do open up, we obviously would lack that space in the building. And that was one. Now, when the weather's better, of course, that would not hinder that, but on the rainy days and such. And
right. But what you guys had brought back previously when we looked at this and signed the contract, you had... This is how many, you know, this is our top season. This is how many people are going to come through the gate. This is how much revenue we're going to, you know. But now it's changed because some of that revenue is going to have to go into not just the operations of the park, it's going to have to go into putting aside money to build the building or do the bioswale or do the you know, it, originally that was all investors doing that. So did that change? Does this change how many people you're going to need in order to cover the expenses?
The short answer is no.
Okay.
So the number one plan is still to go acquire the remaining funds.
Right.
That said, we now have flexibility with a successful park. If the park is generating profits, we will have the flexibility to go after less funding from investors because we'll be able to recycle profits from the park. So we do know what the entire cost of the whole park is, and we also know what the cost of the phase one park is. We know the delta is, we know what the delta is to go from phase one to final. And it's that phase one to final where we're going to have flexibility to either continue with them and get more investor funds or to minimize some of that by recycling profits.
So if you have a couple more months that you're trying to get the investors, correct? If you get your investors, are you still asking for a phased approach or
yes.
So you're asking for a phased approach no matter what.
If we get lucky and we get the investor community that says they want to give us all the money, right?
Sure.
We'll go back to what we were originally going to go do.
Okay.
But we have not been able to go do that with the current contract. So what we're asking for is to give us that flexibility. If we can go find the appropriate amount of money to the range of $800,000 or $900,000 versus the total amount, we can break ground, get started, and get it going while we still go ahead and continue looking for the remaining amount of the money to complete the park. But right now, we can't. We have to go get a larger investor pool together, and we can't start until we have every penny.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can go with a smaller amount, we can start. And that's the big thing. Getting investors more interested more quickly, they have less outlay, and they also get to go see. We can get other people involved. And the guys who do have more money and want to put it in, they have the ability to come in after it and go, say, well, here's half of what I wanted to give. But now I'll go, prove it, and I'm going to give the other half. You get the flexibility with the investors, they wouldn't have that.
Now, does the city have those documents of what you said? You have the construction timeline and everything with the phased approach. Have you shared those with the city? Do we have access to those?
We can give you access.
Okay. That would be important for me to look at in order, to really look at the phased approach and see if it makes sense.
It's really clear that we've done that. What's the new phase one look like? Mm-hmm. We have the original, what's a full park look like?
Okay.
We're not committing today to how we phase from over 5 years or over 3 years or whatever is the rest of it. Because that's going to be determined by how much more money we have to go do that. Does it make sense to do a parking lot and then a building or a building and then a bioswell or whatever? So all we really have is the delta, of what phase one is going to look like and what the end is going to look like.
Okay.
We're not committing right now without knowing what kind of funds we're going to have over time. Exactly how we want to go phase.
Okay.
And it might be better for us and the city if we don't, piecemeal it. We might just go 2 or 3 years with the smaller thing, get a bunch of money, and just nail the whole thing all at once, and not piecemeal it.
Okay.
All those options.
And then just a comment or a question about the permit, because I see that you listed in here a milestone is the filing, the final permitting, and I think it was my understanding that the towers weren't yet permitted, but are you saying the towers are permitted too?
No, the grading permit.
Okay, so right now you have the grading permit, but the towers have not been permitted yet.
I don't believe they have been.
Okay, so
correct.
So you still have to go through that process.
For sure.
Okay, and how long is that process?
All we needed was engineering calcs that were in English, I think, was the last thing we were in German.
They were metric. We had to convert it to, which
okay.
we've since done, but obviously we want to get past this point. And
right. I gotcha.
File for that permit. And the other advantage to this process is possibly, which makes this project a lot more attractive, we could be open to some the phased approach. So it also speeds up the construction process. It's about a 90-day process from the day we say we want the towers, from the day that they're sitting at the lake there. The construction the grading process is about a 60 to 90 day process. So it would line up right at a July opening if all the stars align with an April 1st go.
Sure.
You know, obviously the permit will be in process as where the cables are coming and the grading and so on and so on. There's a lot of things that
right.
fall in place. But it gives us a possibility. With this park opening in Orlando, this Action Parks has expressed a lot of interest. And we're trying to get them out here. They're going to travel out this month to visit this.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, even if it goes too late in the summer, forget the revenue. If we can just have it open for a few days, we can start pre-selling season passes and all the activities you would need for the next mm-hmm. year. So we'd be very motivated to get something open so that we can start advertising for the off season.
Sure.
For the next season.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Thank you. And before we continue, I'd like the record to show that Councilmember Gehring entered the chambers at 7:21. Councilmember Kemp? I'm sorry. Councilmember Hanford?
Thank you. Sitting in Councilmember Kemp's seat.
Councilmember Kemp's seat.
Thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for bringing this update. We've been looking forward to it. Still very excited about this happening. It's been disappointing to see keep driving by and have neighbors, friends, kids ask, when's those towers going to come? And I just keep saying, I don't know. So good that you're still working on things. Would really like to see this go through. Definitely, that was one of my questions was when would you be able to open? So it sounds like if we all agreed to these within the next whatever and got back to you, then you'd be able to open theoretically 90 days-ish?
To the extent we can then go get the investor, as quickly as we can get the investor on board, it'll be 90 days thereafter.
Okay. So yeah, I would just, you know, obviously we have some deliberation, but I would just encourage you to find the way.
One thing I really want to make clear is that it seems like all this time's gone by, and where's the investors, right? We had the original investors. We started to go for the second tier of investors, and then all we had was uncertainty. All we could do is say, we don't know when we're going to get the state. We don't know when the feds aren't even working on us. And so we were not able to do this. We had to shut down looking for funds. We finally got an inclination that we were going to be able to get going again in August of 2014. We jumped on that, we ran hard, but we literally didn't have the ability to get half the money, we had to get all the money, and we had to do that before Christmas, or else for the whole thing to come together, we weren't going to be able to make it. So we gave it a valiant effort to try to get it between August and Christmas, and that's when we fell down. And then as we regrouped in January, we said, you know what, we need to get back there, we need to try to do another time. And quite frankly, you know, it'd be nice even right now, if we were able to get, you know, the phased approach from the council, and we got the first half of the money, we still would have the luxury to still be soliciting the rest of the money all the way through November or Christmas of this first year to try to have the rest of everything put together. So we won't stop. We'll construct what we have, but we still would want to go ahead and work on the whole thing.
Thank you. Thank you. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. I'm sorry I was late, so this was part of it. Can I get the definition of revenue capable?
When we can actually get a paper stamp. So we can work with next year, but we can knock that out.
Oh, so that would be the opening of the...
opening of the park.
All right. Thank you. I just want to make sure. And without the building... Bioswell, I kind of understand the delay. Parking lot, traffic was a big issue. And we'll deliberate this later on. So I'm concerned about the building, though. How would you handle ticket receipts if you're not going to build?
Yeah, so
what have you got planned?
Yeah, we're going to go in with some small portable thing.
Okay.
A building the size of maybe an espresso hut kind of thing.
Right.
So we'll have somebody there who can handle the office functions and get the receipts and things. There'll be a second, you know, some kind of cargo container with all the rentals off to the side. Nothing grander, but grandiose, but something where we can have someone walking out with all of the rentals. But So we definitely will be, you know, electricity, computer capable within that little espresso stand for the thing. And that's only a placeholder in the building.
Okay, and all safety considerations would be in effect.
It'll be ADA compliant and everything. The whole site will be. So we'll make sure that everything has to fall within permits and required guidelines.
And this mayor, this is probably directed to the mayor. Have we put this on the schedule for discussion?
No, but we'll put it on the extended agenda. I think that it would be valuable to get the information from
right.
you that Councilmember Cutaback requested. And so I think probably about 2 weeks out, just so that I can talk to staff. Gene probably put together a list of a couple of things we'd like to get.
Okay, so we'll put together an architectural rendering so you could kind of see the phased approach. In other words, we'll build the pad for the building, where Chris has talked about the temporary buildings would sit on the pad for the future
right.
building.
Right. That would
be
helpful.
Things in streamline, so it made sense. And then, as you suggested, it doesn't, to most people, they think, why are they building the parking lot before they put in a building? But I think that that would be a valid point. We'd probably improve the parking lot before we put in the new building. And this is where we look to you. That's why we didn't want to say this is the order we want it.
Right.
We want to do it in the order that makes sense to the city.
Okay, thank you. I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Guys, your investor from Orlando, so they haven't committed yet, correct?
No.
Okay. So talks are still going. What's your plan if, I mean, because it sounds like this is the investor that you're holding out for. So what happens when, if they say no, no thanks?
We have two groups that we've been talking to right
okay.
now. There's a second group. And the phased approach was attractive to both groups, and that was actually suggested by a group that came in. So we have a backup plan to the backup plan.
Okay.
And the backup plan for that backup plan is that we had a lot of investors when we were looking for the total package. We can go back to all of them and ask for less money from all of them.
Sure.
And so between the two entities that we have good feeling for and all the prior investors that we have talked to, we're going to go backward with asking for a much smaller package and see if we can go get the interest.
Okay, thanks. And in regards, I'm looking at the milestones, and a lot of it's about permitting and so forth. I mean, Gene, maybe you know more. Any of these that have been listed, is H3O going to have to go through and get any of them renewed or updated or anything like that?
There is potential for that, especially when we're talking about the building, because the codes have changed a couple of times since the first submittal, and I'd mentioned that to H3O as well. So they're aware of that. It's nothing that's insurmountable.
Okay.
But we'll have to go through, and that's what I'll do in the next couple of weeks. I'll work with our planning and building department and find out where we're at on all the permits, what needs to be updated, that type of thing. But I don't see anything that's insurmountable in that process.
The building permit is, that's one of the things that we're leaving for later.
Delaying.
Right.
Fix all that.
Sure. Okay. Well, I'm just looking at this scene. You know, this has been a three-year process, and, you know, what was done 3 years ago may not necessarily qualify today, but... So,
sure. The good news is the rating permit we have, and we've already extended it. So that's a big one.
Okay.
And all of the approvals that we've gotten, we've extended those. So.
Okay. You know, outside of that, I mean, really the big thing I'm interested in is seeing the facts. I want to see the numbers. I want to see the visuals. You know, Councilmember Cutaback's point, you know, let's see exactly what that plan is. And be specific. Mm-hmm. I want numbers. What's the revenue going to look like? What's expenses going to look like? And show me something realistic that we can actually look and have a good discussion on. And no going comfortable whichever way we go. We had the facts in front of us.
Perfect. Understandable.
Yeah. All I have. Thank you.
Yep. Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. Good to have you guys here. Sorry I was late.
I'm
excited that you're here because that means there's still life to the project, and it was definitely kind of getting worried, but I'm glad you guys are here. I'm certainly willing to look and see what we can do to make this happen. So I'm very much excited about getting it going. Seeing those drawings would be helpful as well, but certainly understand working together to the order in which things need to get done. to make it work for everybody. So,
thank you.
Sorry. Yeah, really looking forward to it. And again, I appreciate the question. I was going to ask what revenue capable was. Councilmember Camp got that. So, and again, the you know, some of these things, you know, are an important part of the entire package. Definitely don't want to forget about the building, even if it, whether it's first, whether it's last. You know, that's an important piece. You know, it's certainly a big selling point in, you know, in the whole package as well, and that may have already been said. And I get that. You know, maybe going back to all your other investors, like you said, a smaller amount with each one of them, add, you know, maybe it adds up to the whole thing, right? You know, and so I get that strategy, and so I'd be doing the same thing, going back to them. Well, how about this much, right? You know, it's, with a phased approach, and if that's going to work, then you know, I'm certainly all ears. But maybe I missed some of the other things that were said, so. As much information as possible is awesome, and again, glad you guys are here. Thanks.
It's good to hear. Thank you.
Councilmember Gamble.
My questions were just in regards to, you know, I'm just trying to look at, if we go into the, if we change the agreement, you go to the phased approach just on protecting the city from the standpoint of, okay, if we terminate the option, I know in the previous agreement we had it where you had a bond that covered the towers, so the towers get taken out and all that kind of stuff. Is that all?
That's still in there.
So
definitely have the bond for the towers to come out.
Okay, so yeah, you know, based on the bullet that you put in here, 5 years, you know, the bioswale, the parking lot, and the building, not done, or one of the three is not done, and because, you know, the council will be completely different then if they choose this. it's a fact.
That's good.
If, you know, if that council chooses to terminate, then that would cover the removal of all said equipment, correct? Okay. In addition to the temporary building?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Great. And then the other thing I'm assuming, I mean, I know the question's been asked a lot, but you're putting in here that all three of those things are going to be, you know, a lot of confidence is what I'm picking up on, that you'd have it done in 5 years. So
yes,
the numbers I'm expecting, that you guys are expecting, that the revenue based on your projections, that you would be hitting a point where you could complete those three in addition to investor money. I know you're counting on that within that 5-year time period.
Yes.
You're banking the farm.
With the numbers, but just the profit, you got 5 years on profit, we'd be happy to do that because we would save a lot of equity and we would be able to go ahead and do all of that all on our own. To the extent we want to accelerate that and bring in investors, then we can bring it in more quickly, we can get that done.
So that was the second part. So basically what you're saying is that that 5 years that you're throwing out there, you're basing it off of, hey, 5 years of profits, we can do this on our own.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what we'll show. You'll see the numbers. And
that's important. I mean, that's okay. That's good. And it's the Orlando. Is that? Did you say it was next week they're coming up, or what, next month?
No, they have the park openings. They're hitting for the last week in March, first week in April. Probably end up being the first week in April. And I'll let you all know. They'd probably like to meet some of you, and we'll let you know when we'd meet out there.
Well, I just think it would be, you're meeting them the first week of April. We have this on the docket in 2 weeks, so that we would be having our deliberation and discussion before you meet with them. That probably would be handy for you.
Exactly.
Okay. So I wanted to make sure that we were, you know, lining up in that. It's ironic because that's the, I mean, this, it has been 3 years ago or whatever, but that's the park that I visited when I was on vacation that kind of changed my whole view of this particular project. So it's interesting that it is a very well run facility, and I was shocked to see every demographic. I mean, I just expected to see a bunch of teenage or, you know, boarders or whatever, and it was, you know, 8 and 10 year old kids to, you know, senior citizens, and they were all out there boarding, and it was cool. It was cool to see. So.
To go, I have an in with this Action Parks. It's actually the parent company that I work for. I work for a boat manufacturer out of Orlando, Florida.
Uh-huh.
We're owned by the same parent company.
Nice.
So a lot of my coworkers work for Action Parks. So
oh, okay.
We met this last week in Colorado at a summit in the snow. We went and attended all the different cable park owners from around, really globally now, are coming to this event. And we met there, and they had stated that we're one of the most attractive or one of their next projects. And they've been challenged to open 2 new parks a year moving forward. So it's nice to be on the top of their project list.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
So that it was very well run park. I would still say that, I mean, I said it 3 years ago, but I'll say it again. The one thing I saw there that was great because of their setting, but would not work in our environment, was the music. even though it would be cool. I understand.
They're on the side of the freeway, so definitely.
It's on the side of the freeway. They're kind of out by themselves, and they, you know, yeah, it worked. But I mean, hey, great for the Borders. I mean, they had it blasting, but that definitely would not work. And,
guys, about a little over a year ago, trying to get their interest. They had two or three parks that they were heads down on. And their biggest concern with us is that they didn't understand our demographics. They understood 360-day weather in Florida. Mm-hmm. And so they wanted to go in, and they were asking us, you know, can we go in with half the package and test it out and see where it is? So what we're asking for is right up the bailiwick of what we're trying to do with the national parks.
Okay. Thank you for being here. I appreciate it. I was getting worried as well.
Thank you for your time.
Yep.
Are there any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much
Thank
for coming
you.
This evening.
Thank you
very much for the report.
Why don't you chair that?
One, two, three.
Had your name hurts for two.
Okay, the next item that we have on this evening's agenda is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Testimony or public comment is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Is there any member of the public that would like to come forward to speak this evening? Okay, seeing none, we're going to move on to consent. Councilmember Hanford.
Move to approve consent agenda as listed.
Second.
Okay, I have a first to approve from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Next item on the agenda is under unfinished business. This is unfinished business item number one. This is AB 15040, ordinance number 004-2015, amending MMC 1870, marijuana-related uses for first reading. And, whoops, it would help if I used the trackpad rather than just the keyboard. Brad, are you up? Yes.
As requested by the City Council, staff has prepared the draft ordinance to have religious institutions, private parks, and the evergreen state programs for which uses to which marijuana-related uses cannot be located within 1,000 feet. The maps included in the council packet include the buffers imposed by Initiative Item 2 and the additional proposed buffers. It is important to note that the maps are not part of the proposed or existing regulations and are simply an illustration of the estimated buffers at this time. The buffer requirements would be evaluated on a case-by-case basis at the time of application for marijuana-related use. This proposed land use regulation has been reviewed by the Planning Commission, which held a public hearing on February 9, 2016. Following the public hearing, the Planning Commission voted to send a recommendation to reject the proposed ordinance to the City Council. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
All right. Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. Brad, I just want to understand, so these are estimates, because you said it'd be on a case-by-case basis
right.
for the buffer, whether it truly is within.
It'll have to be surveyed to find out where the 1,000-foot mark is.
And who pays the cost of that survey?
We would assume that it would be the applicant who would have to prove that they were more than 1,000 feet away from one of the buffer zones.
Okay. So when I look at this map, the one that would include the buffer zone, the estimate is this one that was 220, right? The
proposed, yes.
And then this is revised, and this is, but this was 225.
Right. That's the I-502 buffers are the one you just put down, and the one you picked up is the proposed.
Is the proposed. And so when I look at this, I see one little green
right.
shading down there. And that's for processing only. So
yes.
When I look at this, I don't see any retail at all.
No, with the estimated buffers and all those things, there is no place that's zoned general commercial or service commercial that is not within 1,000 feet.
Within the buffers. Okay. And I guess I was assuming that we would have this discussion with the city attorney present before we
And this is in for first reading.
I know it's first reading.
And I had asked the question before that upon putting all the buffers on here, if there's an interest in going a different direction, like banning the use in the city, that would be something maybe that we could discuss. So if you'd like, we can put this on a future agenda for discussion.
Well, I would prefer it be on the discussion or on the agenda when the attorney is here, because mm-hmm. I do have some questions that I do think probably need to be asked
okay.
in a different setting before I make a decision on whether this would be something I would vote on. So if we did take a vote tonight, I'd probably abstain and then put it on the agenda for next week. Would be my preference.
Okay. Anything else? Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to, as well, I'd like to have a discussion actually about changing direction. As far as discussion goes, some of the other cities have already paved the way as far as just an outright no retail sales in the town. So if we're going to have the discussion, then I'd like to make sure that's included in our discussion with the attorney here. Certainly appreciate that as well. Again, just these numbers that were included in the packet, this was regarding the yes-no vote was not for retail stores. It was about personal use. And, that won here. But people didn't vote on whether or not to have retail stores in their towns. That's not what the vote was about. So I just want to make sure that's clarified. It can be a little misleading when you look at numbers. It doesn't mean people want a store in their town. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford?
Yeah, I concur with what Councilmember Gehring just said. Everything that he said, and just would like to pursue that as well.
Thanks. Okay, so we will look at moving this item rather than accepting this as first reading to a meeting where we have an attorney present, so that would be March 17th, is that correct? Okay. Is a motion required to move this, since this is on for first reading, or can we just put this on the agenda for next week?
Currently, this is on for first reading tonight, and it is on the agenda for next week for second reading, pending what happens tonight. If you would like to change direction at that time, we would certainly do so.
Okay, so we'll move this to first reading for next week then. Okay, which will be deliberation as well. Okay. All right, does anybody have a disagreement with that direction? Okay, this will be on for March 17th, and it'll still be on for first reading and deliberation. All right, thank you. Next item on the agenda is unfinished business number 2, AD 15041, discussion 2015 comprehensive plan update. Mr. Feilberg.
At the March 2nd meeting, the Planning Commission reviewed the policies associated with goal 8. Last night, they reviewed the policies related to goals 5 and 1 and 9. In addition to these suggested changes to policies associated with goal 8, which are in your council packet that we delivered to you on Friday, they have also recommended to remove goal 1 in its entirety, as it is very broad and they felt it is more of a mission / vision statement rather than a goal, and they recommend that be added to the vision of the comp plan. They are also unfavorably inclined to have the downtown goal.
They had already said that.
I also included, because you want to read your agenda,
that's the recommendation.
A package with a different clip on it,
mm-hmm. yeah.
which is all the policies by goal, along with what elements of the comprehensive plan they apply to, that all the work the Planning Commission has done in 2 days. So if you
want
to look at that, or just
go
over the policy related to goal 8, like we have done in the past
few
years.
Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. Thanks, Brad, for that update. Just before we get started, I was looking at, I just pulled up goal number 1, and it's be a well-managed city that responds to community needs. That is really, really, really generic. That does make sense as a more of an upper level thing, because I looked through some of the goals that were under that, and they could all easily belong somewhere else. They all go somewhere else. And so in the interest of, obviously that's something we want to do, what number 1 says, but that's even higher than a goal, really. I mean, obviously that's what we want to do, but the other ones below it are actually a little bit more actionable as far as a goal is concerned. that one is, so yeah, I'm interested to see. So they just went ahead, so everything that was under it, which was a lengthy list, it could have been everything, actually.
In the packet with the...
Right, with, exactly, yeah.
There was a goal one.
Right.
There was a goal two.
Goal two, okay.
So the only things they did not keep in policies are the ones that talk about the school district.
I got it, okay.
Encourage the school district that have the highest level of service or something like that, and they felt that was kind of strange. And so those ones are basically, it's already done as part of the comprehensive plan process. We every 2 years adopt a capital facilities plan.
Exactly.
That was all taken care of and not really necessary to be enumerated further.
Okay. I appreciate it. Well, is there going to be a revisitation of... Actually, they're probably, they're getting pretty close to wrapping up.
They've gone through all of the goals and policies.
Okay.
Next week, they're going to basically take this and go through and say, okay, look at that one a month ago. This still makes sense what we did.
Right. I was hoping to do the same thing with the environmental one. At least there's so many that were actually, like I said, like three or four times now. It's like it's actually about housing, but it got shoved under the environmental one when it actually belongs in a different one. Is that exercise done, or is it all still kind of where it is? And do we need to?
It's really going to be ongoing.
Okay, until the very end. Okay, very good.
The big thing right now is, are these policies you want to do? We can figure out where to stick them later.
Right.
But is there anything that? Any of the policies that say,
very good.
Like, you guys don't
want
to do that. Right. Or any that are missing that, we want to make sure that we do something.
Which is what we've been doing. I appreciate it. Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Does anybody else have any more global questions? Okay. Let's go ahead and proceed then with goal 8, if that pleases council. And here.
And I like the rewording. That's cool.
I will be like last week. Just
yep.
Reading numbers and
yep. Just start with like, just start with goal 8.
Policy 1, Policy 3, Policy 6, Policy 7, Policy 8.
Councilmember Cutterbeck.
I think I saw that 3, 7, 8 just got moved under the downtown. I mean, that is a downtown goal,
yes.
Though, right? Oh,
yes.
I see you put 8. Okay, thank you. How was it?
9, 10, 16, 17, 18. 23, 29, 30, 31, 46, 48,
49,
59, 58.
Councilmember
Cutterback. So 58, I didn't see anything in that specifically does mention Centennial Trail. And was there any discussion around that? I see that was crossed off as a policy 58, and that's the only policy I read in here that mentions Centennial Trail.
They put it, do you believe, in with transportation?
Yeah.
Okay, it's nothing that would be under parks and recreational opportunities.
Yeah,
and
I mean, it could be in both.
Oh, yeah, I would think it would be in parks and. I mean, this is a recreational opportunity, so I would prefer that it be left in under Goal 8. Anyone has any comments?
Okay. Councilmember Gehring and then Councilmember Hanford.
Thanks. Isn't the Stevens Pass Greenway is technically the highway, isn't it? It's a section along the highway.
Correct.
I think that's why it got stuck in with, and because the Centennial Trail would be along Highway 2 from Snohomish to Monroe. I believe the cost was $1 million a mile, if I remember at the last meeting. And so I think that's why it got stuck in. It certainly is recreational. I can see it belonging to both, but you're going to have bikes and stuff on there as well. So, yeah, if you're going to duplicate one, this one might be a good one to duplicate. Yeah. Thanks.
Councilmember Hanford?
Yeah, to me, the Centennial Trail is... purely parks and rec, and the Stevens Pass Gate Greenway should be separated from that. So they belong in two different ones. That's my opinion.
Okay, so I'm hearing a consensus that the Centennial Trail, that PO58 should be in the parks goal, and I'm not hearing that they necessarily need to have it excluded from the transportation goal also. From a multimodal standpoint, I see how some jurisdictions would include them in both. Unless council disagrees, we'll leave them in both. Okay. Go ahead and continue.
59, 62, 64, 66, 67, 68, 69.
I clicked.
Oh, I'm sorry, Councilmember Cutter.
That's okay.
I didn't hear a click.
That's all right. Back to 66, where it says identify and promote recreational activity uses and opportunities that support local tourism and lodging. And I just thought, well, that's pretty, I mean, it's very specific. And I tried to look for another place that just talks about supporting and identifying promoting recreational activities in general, not with the purpose of just tourism and lodging. Is there one that covers that? I know that there's one that says recover cost.
That was briefly the other question. Because it is, it's recreational draw, so it is in the promote the city as a regional draw. And then they made a specific one for recreation, but I don't know if there's a specific goal policy for. Just recreational activities that aren't related to tourism.
I guess 138 might, when it says provide for passive and active recreation, protects unique features. I just want to make sure it wasn't just focused, that recreational activities aren't just about tourism and lodging.
Right.
You know, there's many reasons why we promote and encourage those activities.
Right.
So.
It wasn't an addition. It was originally all activities that promote tourism and
right.
lodging. They wanted to make sure that it specifies that we do also recreational want to do that.
Right, in this goal, I can understand that. Okay, we can move on.
Councilmember Gary.
Thanks. I just want to respond to that. I personally, I love the way this one's worded. When there is a ton of recreational activities in town, that totally supports local tourism, gets everybody into town, then they're going to eat at a restaurant on their way out after they've bike the Sentinel Trail or whatever they're doing. So I think you had caught it. The 138 as well covers that. So I think that's absolutely what we want to do. We want to get people and then we want them to stay. You know, if they want to spend the night, then I think that's awesome. So I love the way this one's worded and it is covered as well in 138. Thanks.
Councilmember Cutterback.
Yeah, I agree. I like the policy and I wouldn't change the wording of that one. I just wanted to make sure that recreational activities. We have a lot of families, and this is a really family-friendly atmosphere in that we're not just promoting recreational activities so people come and stay here. It actually is to promote for our community and our families also. So I'll just keep my eyes open to make sure I feel like it's covered in another policy.
138.
Before you continue, one of the issues that I've heard here in town is that we need more hotels, motels, lodging. Do we have policies in here that are specific to promoting lodging or anything like that that you recall?
You got goal 4, which is to promote the economic vitality.
Okay,
and
good.
I'll check to make sure there's something.
Hotelish, motelish. Thank you. And when you're ready, go ahead and continue.
Okay, 67, 68, 69, 74.
Councilmember Cutterback.
So 74, and when we talk about work with Snohomish County and WashDOT, did we want to add something like any other agencies, or is it, you know, just a kind of catch-all? Are there other agencies that would apply to that corridor beautification?
This specifically is coming out of Highway 2, it's in front of the fairgrounds and the entrance into town, get rid of the blockers kind of thing. So that's the only two agencies that have jurisdiction out there.
But when it says beautification, I just thought, are there nonprofits? Are there other agencies or other organizations that would help beautify that or upkeep it? Or that's all. It just was very specific with
those two. There is something about that.
Okay.
Somewhere else it talks about working with groups to do cleanup and things like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that might cover it.
Okay.
We'll get there.
Take a look.
Yes.
Okay. 75, 76, 77, 82, 87, 91, 95.
Councilmember Cutterback.
So 91 and 95 and 98, I kind of looked at that, and it would seem that would be more in the environmental goals.
It's there also.
So it's both, but manage development shorelines to minimize erosion, pollution, discharge, of aesthetics and wildlife habit. So is that there because of parks? Or?
Because most of the shorelines are parkland. So just, reinforcing that when you're doing your park stuff and being cognizant of those facts that you have to, get the shorelines permits and that kind of stuff, it's really at the end.
Okay.
So as I look at 91, 95, 98, and I'm not trying to be a technician on this, but it seems Councilmember Cutterback has a good point. They seem to be very specific to
environment.
And so it seems to me that putting them under the recreation probably isn't the right place for it to go. And it would still apply. It's just that it would be under the environment section, which is where I would expect to find those.
That's a good point.
So if council doesn't disagree, we'll go ahead and just have that under the environment rather than have it under the parks one. I don't know what that means for the other goals that are there, though. So.
Okay.
Please continue.
105, 110, 111, 112, 122, 123, 125, 126, 127, 128, 130, 131, 134, 135, 136, 138, 139, 140, 141, 142, 143, 144, 145, 146, 147, 148, 149, 150, 151, 152, 153, 154, 155,
157, 158,
159, 160, 161, 162,
twice.
Councilmember Cutterback.
Just kidding. I wanted to break it up.
Please continue. Do you want me to call
it? I had to do it. So
cool. I wanted to do the count. We need throw a in there every once in a while for the count.
163, 164. 165, 166, 167, 168, 169, 170.
Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. On the 91, 95, 98, I totally agree. The only thing is, as I look at 95 again, it does talk about recreational and wildlife corridors. That is a park type thing. I think that might be one that we might want to actually leave that one there. But I do agree on 91.
95.
I think 91 and 98 though. Because we're talking about usable open space corridors, which is a recreation thing. But 91 and 98, absolutely agree. Those I would put those elsewhere. Yeah. I think as I read 95, there's enough of certainly a recreational component there in parks. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have anything on 170A?
I didn't. I just wanted to keep that train moving until the very end.
Okay. All right. So I think that takes care of that.
That takes care of that.
Okay.
Next week would be 5-9. So you have that in front of you now. So we can also turn off the packet. And we have spent almost 3 hours with the water, sewer, and storm consultant today going over that stuff. So that's coming together nicely. We also talked with the City Cascade for the Pine Park today for over an hour, and they're working fast, and we're hoping for the 20th to have the final product for you, or 95% final product. So we have scheduled the presentation of that for the 31st. And that'll give you hopefully a little bit of time to review it so you have some questions you can ask the consultant when they are here. Any questions?
I see none. Please again extend our gratitude to the Planning Commission.
Thank you.
Definitely.
And Brad, thank you. You're taking on two hats, and you've been doing it since December, and I truly appreciate the work that you're doing. So thank you.
You're
Thanks, Brad.
So we're going to go ahead and move on to AB 15042. Is that where we are?
Yep.
Okay. And this is a discussion on downtown parking, parallel versus angled. And this was requested by council members Hanford and Rasmussen. And Brad, do you want to go ahead and...
Actually, we don't have a lot to say on this one. Had some answers to some questions that the council member also had in your packet. You also have attached, or on your place setting there, a little picture of the one-way cover concept. Some possible, there's going to go up carry your ribs, there's going to show you that ribs, this is an idea, but we're not going to go to that. So if you have any questions, if you have an answer then, you can just speak up amongst yourselves.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Brad, thank you for all the information here, answering the questions. More for the council, you know, this initially came up as when we were discussing the downtown parking time limits, and recalling the P4 committee, the concept of parallel parking one-way streets on Main kind of came up briefly, and we just said, let's bring it to council, and it's brought to council, and it was, there was very quick and brief discussion, but in my opinion, very quickly dismissed. And you know, we're in a position where, because we're redoing the sidewalks and the look and the feel of Main Street, I felt that, you know, maybe there was room for a broader discussion on this because we're changing this for the long term. Is this a direction, that being the one way and or the parallel parking, is that a direction that we may want to consider as we're changing the landscape or streetscape of Main Street, of our downtown? And, you know, in my mind when I was thinking about this, it was, you know, there are definitely several benefits that could come up to discussion. The looks, the feel that it could offer, that being the parallel parking, a one-way concept, you know, I thought could actually broaden downtown more off of just Main Street and have a downtown core versus just one street. So, you know, those are the big reasons why I did want to have this come back to the discussion, just primarily because we are in a position as a council to change things, and the timing is right with what we've got going on with the eliminating the curbs and so forth. And since then, kind of doing my, you know, reading several articles, you know, the one-way piece I'm looking at is tough, especially actually seeing the visual of it on the map and how far the eastbound traffic kind of steers away. It gives me a little concern on that. The parallel parking, however, I'm still very much interested in. And a lot of the articles I read where cities are kind of moving towards that in a Main Street or a downtown area are showing a successful revitalization of their downtown. A lot of the articles I'm reading are saying that residents and businesses are saying it looks better, it's safer on sidewalks. You know, it's we're talking Ballard's last several weeks, and actually one of these articles said the best Ballard you can have is cars parked parallel in between the road and the sidewalk. So, I mean, there's our cost solution, right? So it, you know, those are some of the things I really see that could help out. Certainly, absolutely, yes, it does eliminate some parking spots downtown, no question about it. But I mean, this map, in my mind, also gives a very visual aspect of, you know, parking around the corner isn't that far away. And if we have a revitalized downtown that encourages window shopping from our feet versus our cars, you know, parking around the corner isn't such a bad thing. And so those lost 18 spaces have less of an impact, or could have less of an impact in that respect. So I'm interested in hearing the rest of council's thoughts on this. But like I said, I wanted to bring this back just because we do have an opportunity to really change things for the future for our downtown with this. So, thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen approached me about this when we talked about it last here, and I agreed because we are doing this construction right now, now is the time to look at this. And I didn't feel like we had really spent enough time to really make a decision since we're doing this construction. So in seeing the layout similar to you, this one-way concept, I just see a major, my concern is a major bottleneck crossing Highway 203.
Mm-hmm.
And how all that works. So that's a major concern of mine, where we cross South Lewis Street on East Fremont heading east. As far as the parallel parking, Brad, in the attachment, my understanding was that the parallel parking idea was if we were going to go to a one-way street. Is it possible? Is there enough room physically to have parallel parking?
It takes less room for parallel parking than angle parking.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Well, I've heard some feedback from citizens, and I know for myself. Personally, I'm not in favor of the parallel parking based on different people's skills at parallel parking and the lack of spaces and the traffic slowdowns that would create. It's already sometimes going east to west on Main Street with people turning left and things like that. It's already can take a long time just to get down through the downtown. And if you add people trying to parallel park that don't really know how, I don't see any kind of expedience. And I haven't heard from citizens speaking out like, yes, we want parallel parking. So, I mean, we haven't put it out there that much, but it has been on the agenda. We have talked about it a little bit. So those are my thoughts at this point. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. And appreciate this being brought back. Absolutely. We definitely didn't have enough time. So I appreciate that. I am not the one-way thing. Definitely not in favor of that at this time. I think there may be a time for it, but right now I would consider it premature. Again, just with the concept of Wood Street, you have a bunch of houses there. You are going to devalue those houses with the high amount of traffic, in addition to the fact people could decide for some lawsuits there. Some of the other concepts, going through other small towns that have a major highway that run through, and you'll have one way going this way and one way going the other way as you get through. And I think if Highway 2 ran right through our downtown, we would absolutely need to do this. It doesn't now. And I think there will be a time to run people down Fremont and then kind of, I don't think we're there yet. We need, as more development comes in, as we continue to beautify and develop the area with the other things that we're talking about, as it becomes more attractive and as we hopefully attract some private investment as well. And we can then develop Fremont Street a little bit more. It's going to be a natural place to open up a business there. Right now, the streetscape looks great. It's that kind of thing that we want to do with the trees. But it doesn't... once we can get some new attractive business along that stretch, it's going to make more sense to go. Again, I think valid concept, not yet. Premature on that one, in my opinion. Parallel parking. I just parallel parked tonight. I met some friends at the tap room. I had iced tea. Just saying, in front of Adams, and parallel parking. Of course, I'm a pretty good parallel parker, but I agree with Councilman Hanford. Parallel parking is maybe one of the largest challenges in the driving test and for people in general, and I appreciate that we have good parallel parkers here who like it. The loss of spaces, I think, is counter to what we're trying to do. And I appreciate the walk by, the thought of being able to walk by, but you got to have something there that you want to stop and see. And you can, whether you're parallel parking or whether you're angle parking, you're still going to be able to see it. I'd rather they have an opportunity to get out of their car, more opportunities to put their car into a spot to get to that store, rather than have to go around the corner. I think a decision, and there's a psychology part that comes this too. A decision is made in a very short period of time as to whether or not it's worth it to try and find somewhere to get out to go to that store. If there's a spot that's right there and you have 18 more than you would have with parallel, the chances of a spot being open and you're going to be able, oh, hey, there's a spot, I've got time, I can stop here and do it. Versus if you're not quite as familiar with town, you know, where do I go? Even if it's just right around the corner and you're not sure, it's off the beaten path. Do you make a psychological decision not to stop because there's not as convenient parking? Some of the things I was thinking with that, I think parallel parking would look nicer. And I don't think that if we stayed with angle parking that we can't do that at a different time. It's the appropriate time for the concept. But I mean, at that point, without curbs and bollards, all you're talking about paint at that point. And if you wanted to later switch to parallel parking, get some of the businesses on board, you're talking about paint, you know, or some stripes for car outlines. So the cost of doing that, going from an angled to an angled, is, in my estimation, is more of a paint cost, lining cost. You're not really reconstructing anything if you wanted to go a different direction. It'd be my preference to stay with the angled for the time being. I'd certainly appreciate how it would look. I'm uncomfortable with the loss of spaces when we're trying to bring people here. And you make that decision if you see something you want to stop at, and there is the possibility of more spots. I think that's to our benefit to have more spots than less from that aspect. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I think Councilmember Gehring here, most of the points I was going to make. We would... I like this idea, and I believe in the future it will be good. We would have to add a light on 203 and Fremont.
Exactly.
Right? So yep. I don't know how difficult that is with state departments. Just shake your head, Brad.
You just have to wait for vehicle problem and then already.
Oh, okay. Well,
you can't do it ahead of time.
Okay, that's the most glaring thing that pops out of it. But I like the idea. I've heard people discuss the options of using one-way streets through downtown. This is the most concrete example I've seen. I like it. I agree that the issues on Wood Street would be difficult for the people who reside there. Again, in the future, it'd be good. Parallel parking. People I've talked to, for the most part, don't mind parallel parking. But when I mentioned that they're going to lose parking spaces, everyone said no. They just they feel that parking is an issue down there. They don't want to risk losing any additional ones.
Mm-hmm.
However, looking at Lewis Street and realizing that we really have parallel parking there gives me an idea of what it would look like.
Yeah.
So I can see it. I think it would be good. And again, down the road, if we end up dealing with the parking issues some other manner, getting businesses on board, they want parking. They want as much parking down there as they possibly can. I would go with the angle at this point. And in addition to that, with all the major changes we're putting there, having something familiar like angled parking at this time probably makes a little more sense. Going forward, parallel parking, I think, would be a benefit when we get a little bit bigger and a little bit more structured downtown. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Cuddeback.
Thank you. Brad, with the one-way, I'm in agreement with, it sounds like, the rest of council that the one-way idea of right now, there's some concern with that. And if a signal signal would have to go in eventually at Fremont and Lewis, who would bear the cost of that? I would assume...
Anybody in the state of Washington.
I assume the city, because there wouldn't be a lot of development probably there that you could pass it on. And what's the signal cost? Two million?
$450,000 to $600,000.
Okay, so not as much as I thought, but still. So I'm not in favor of moving forward or looking at that. A couple questions about the parallel parking. I was told that we used to have parallel parking up Main Street at one time. So do we have any history of that or how long that happened? And
in the past, I've run across it when looking at minutes for other things, and it happened around the early 80s.
Early 80s?
The sidewalks in around 75, and then it happened 40 years ago. Just before I started working here.
Okay, so and they moved away from it. Did you see any kind of indication of why? Or
I wasn't looking at that. I was looking for other things, and so I just noticed it said, you know, because they were adding permission from the state in order to do it.
Okay.
But I don't know what the reasoning was or, you know, any discussion
that was had. Okay. Would we have to get permission from the state to do this?
No.
Okay.
Not anymore. It was the way we had it set up in our arterials grant money we got from the state.
Okay. And if we did go to parallel, we don't need the bollards?
Well, it depends on what you want to do.
Okay.
And how flexible you want to be.
Sure.
So if you want to be able to do both, we need to put the bollards in for the wheel stops, the way it's designed and we've been opted for. Because if you change it to parallel now and take out half the bollards and then you decide to go back angle, then you have to perpetually have to put the bollards back in or the wheel stops in. So.
But if we just decided to go to parallel, what do we need for bollards? Any?
You need some delineation of how far, how close the buildings are supposed to be.
I like the
bottom. So most people, when they parallel park, you know, you need a little spooky thing and then you can go back.
So you need some bollards, maybe not. Maybe.
Maybe every other one, every third one.
Okay.
So it's kind of a line for you to
right.
See where to line up with.
So possibly less bollards there.
Yeah.
And I thought I read in here that the chamber kind of staff include the Chamber of Commerce's perspective as well. What was the Chamber's perspective on this?
The Chamber has been kind of promoting it. Her last suggestion was maybe, I forget which way it was, but it was
combination.
Know, do parallel one side perpendicular, keep angle on the east side and do parallel the west side.
Okay. So a couple things. I'm in favor of doing parallel. I think, you know, I agree we're doing some changes down there, and I agree, but what I disagree with, I think now is the time, if we're going to do the changes, it would be an opportune time to do it. I think it would change the look and feel of downtown as we're going down this process. I'm not as concerned as losing 19 possible spaces, because all the data that we've seen shows that parking is not full downtown when you look at the blocks around. Not just talking about Main Street. Downtown is bigger than Main Street. And the data that was shown before is, you know, whether it's still relevant, it was a couple of years ago where they said 50%, or when they did the downtown study, it was only 50% of the downtown. How much?
It was like 8 years ago, and it was, you know, 45 to 55, which was full, which was empty, that was available.
Yeah, and I don't know if your sense is that that statistic has changed much, do you think? I know that's
a kind of anecdotally driving by, you know, in the evenings, and the Main Street is pretty full.
Yeah.
But then you go down the side streets and it, you know,
there's a lot of spaces.
But there's, you know, it's not empty. There's still cars parked there, but there are stops available on the side streets.
Yeah. Well, and that's my sense when I go down there, and I purposely park where I can parallel park because I don't like to pull out into Main Street, pull out, and there's Monroe has quite a few trucks that park down there, and it's incredibly hard to see around those big trucks, Councilmember Campbell. So I'm, you know, and I agree that there's going to be some dissatisfied people, definitely. I mean, there's dissatisfied people when we change, you know, the parking limit. I don't think we will ever come up with a plan that everyone will be satisfied. But I truly believe that the look and feel of downtown will be changed with the no curbs and parallel parking. And we'll be getting it to the point, you know, looking how we want it to look with that plaza-like, pedestrian-friendly feel. And for someone like me, I will park on Main Street if I can parallel park versus pulling in and out in an angled parking. It cramps the street. It's You know, it's not a real friendly street to drive down or to park on. And so I know that limits my desire to go down onto Main Street. So I'm actually in favor of this.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis?
Yeah, the concerning the one-way, I think I referred to it as a can of worms last time, and I still feel that way. It's just a series of problems or adding more problems to problems. So I'm not in favor of one-way at all. I am, however, and I'll kind of go against the general flow here and agree with the council member kind of back that I would like to see the parallel parking. I think it's an opportune time as we're making the changes that we are down there. It fits really well with that. It looks good. I've seen some other cities that have that, and it really does look good, and it looks a lot more comfortable. And it doesn't look quite as crowded or packed. There are advantages to angled parking. Getting in there is one of the advantages. One of the disadvantages is getting out. It's just the opposite with parallel.
Spend more money.
It's a little harder to get in, but it's a lot easier to get out. So you're just kind of, it's kind of a wash on that one. I do think parallel, though, can be a little bit safer because that's been my experience trying to back out there. So, and visibility. I think we have an opportunity also with parallel parking to have a little bit wider sidewalks, if I understand right, because that gives us a little bit more room there. So, you know, it just kind of opens things up a little bit more. It's a little more free-flowing and open, I think. And I think it just fits with the new plan, and it would look well down there. So I'm in favor of the parallel myself. So
thank you. There's one council member I'm waiting to see if the light goes on, but okay,
Oh, you have three lights on still. It looks like.
Oh, but you haven't discussed.
Yeah. Would you like to? I'll give you the prerogative. I'll give you priority.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to hit it eventually.
Okay.
Don't worry. When do I not?
Just a second, everybody. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. You know, Brad, you mentioned with parallel parking, it's less space for the. Needed for the cars for the actual parking, and you know, Councilmember Davis kind of hit on the point of wider sidewalks, which are great because I mean we can look at you know outdoor dining and so forth like that with our downtown businesses. We just finished having a discussion on recreation. Is it possible to have a bike lane on each side of Main Street with more space available?
Probably not, because I'm thinking because of the spaces we have down there, they're shorter than they really technically are, and then they're wider, so you could swing in the parking space as opposed to pulling out before you make your swing, because otherwise you can cross the center line. So the amount of extra sidewalk you get is only about 2 feet per side, and the bike lane is 5 feet, so
okay.
you know, extra 10 feet, you don't get about an extra 4 feet.
Okay. I'm still liking the parallel parking piece of it. I think it would just add a lot to our downtown. The challenges that are out there, concerns that don't know how to parallel park, can't parallel park. I hear a lot of that with roundabouts too. And we manage. So, you know, if that's what's there, folks will learn to do it.
Yes.
Yeah. I was poked in the back by my staff.
Oh, you were poked in. Thank you. Yes. I was wondering because I didn't hear a question, so. Yes.
Actually, probably.
Okay.
You could fit a bike lane in there.
You probably could fit a bike lane in there. Okay.
Even better.
Okay.
I like it.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Hanford?
Yes, thank you. Well, if after hearing the deliberation, if Councilmember Kotovac will teach teach my teenagers to parallel park, I would be happy to go with the parallel stalls. Seriously, after consideration and looking at all the things involved, I like it. I like the parallel look. So.
Anything you
I'm changing. Need. I'm changing over.
Okay. So, Brad, we still have two more lights. Do you have anything? Yes.
If we're heading towards the motion, we also have something else kind of floating out there in the parking realm. Is that we told people we're going to have a meeting on the 7th of April to talk about the height limits.
Oh.
So, do you want to roll that in for some public input, or do you just want to make a decision now and tell them that?
Public input.
Yes.
Oops. Roll it in.
Okay, so that's something to.
Okay.
So that's. Okay. So that's something to consider as somebody may end up making a motion on as far as April 7th. Before we continue.
Nice discussion.
Yeah.
Mayor. I wasn't quite done, but go ahead.
Please continue then.
Okay. As far as the bike lanes are concerned, I like the idea of a little bit wider sidewalk, not so much the bike lanes. Possibly in the future, maybe that would be something we could add. But if we're going to do bike lanes, I would think we would want to do it a long ways down Main Street, not just through the downtown portion. I mean, that should be like a major chunk job to plan for the future, to say, hey, we're going to do bike lanes for the entire length of Main Street or something like that. So if we did two foot longer, wider sidewalks, I don't think it'd be that hard to, if we did that in the future, to back it off a little. Those are my thoughts. Thank you. I'm done.
Okay. Councilmember Camp and then Councilmember Gamble.
Thank you. Brad, how much wider would the sidewalks be?
Well, there's right now the pavement from base of curb to base of curb is 60 feet.
60.
60.
Okay.
So if you had a parking lane that was 8 feet wide, 8 feet at about 16, that leaves you 24 more feet. So you have
4 feet.
Two 12-foot, did I do that right?
I'm sorry, my math is not strong.
Two 12-foot lanes, which is 24 feet, which leaves you 20 extra feet. So you can do two 5-foot bike lanes and 5 feet more sidewalk, or 10 feet more sidewalk, or...
So you could conceivably have 10... I'm sorry, so the width of the sidewalk could be what, maximum?
20 feet.
The sidewalk?
Yeah.
20 feet.
20 feet.
Okay. That's a big
there's
sidewalk.
There's 12 right now.
Okay. Works for me.
That's a big increase.
I like white sidewalks. I like white sidewalks. I'm finished, thank you.
Councilmember Gamble.
So, I guess my biggest thing is, because we've put this back in as a goal, downtown as a goal. And, you know, vibrant, and there's a lot that we want to put towards that. So, to me, the things that are sticking out is why I don't know we should make a decision on an 8-year-old stat. That's one. You know, two would be, I mean, I heard several council members talk about, you know, I look at the one-way, I've lived in Wenatchee on two different occasions, and they have a one-way and a one-way through downtown, and it very much created a downtown corridor. At least that was my,
Absolutely.
Experience. And, you know, it would, I have questions now going through my head about zoning, down there. I mean, I know those are residentials, but you say, what drive the value down? Well, I might disagree, because if you're, driving traffic down areas, depending on how it's zoned, it might actually drive, the price up for someone that now is going to have major traffic going, by them. I've got a big circle on my little sheet as I was making all my notes here where that light is. I mean, obviously, we couldn't do that. We couldn't put that in place without putting the light in at the same time. It would be a disaster. So I guess I'm looking at it more from a comprehensive. I would love to have this more also as a discussion, and as we're looking at the downtown and our comp plan, around, if I heard three or four council members say, you know, that might be a good idea down the road. Well, if it's a good idea down the road, we should be talking about it now and putting it on a, you know, map, a plan, or maybe doing a study. I mean, we don't know. And I guess that's what I would like. And then I was asked about what does the chamber say, what do the businesses say, and I didn't really hear, you know, a total response to that. I would want to know that. I mean, if it's part of our comp plan, we're going to have it as a separate goal. What do they think? I mean, I have, you know, all kidding aside, I mean, I can parallel park, I can pull in, it don't matter. But, you know, what do the businesses want? What, you know, what are the statistics or what does the research show is going to drive more traffic? Right now, it seems to me we're basing all of our decisions just kind of on our, you know, how we feel that it would do. Well, I think that would be better. There's got to be some data out there, whether from small towns or anything, and I haven't looked. Maybe you have, Brad, and there's nothing. So we're just basing this off of...
It's mostly anecdotal.
Okay.
You know, there has been some studies that they've shown that there's more accidents with angled parking, but the study was really inconclusive. And some report that it's more... Others say that, well, the reason there's more accidents is because you have more cars parked there, so therefore there's more accidents because...
There's more parking.
You have 15 more curb stalls, so then there's going to be more accidents because there's more cars pulling in and out.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, the stuff I've read so far that I've been able to find is that they don't do it with no parking, because most of the studies or the reports that have been out there is going from no parking to some parking. And they're saying, yes, you need to do parallel parking. That's because they had no parking.
Mm-hmm.
The most recent one I read was, I forget what city it was, somebody that does monthly wine blocks or weekly wine blocks or something like that, and they have really big sidewalks. And they're saying, well, don't build your sidewalks for that one day a week when you have a bunch of people down there who really need the parking, so put the parking back. And that was going parallel parking. State of the art, if you want to call it that, or the trendy thing now is actually back in angle, which sort of is, you know, sometimes best of both worlds because you give them more parking spaces because it's angled,
mm-hmm.
but then you also have the back end movement similar to parallel, but you don't have to do that little twist. And then when you pull out, you are closer to the road, so you look that way and see the car coming and just trying to be, you know, do that gymnastics thing to look out their back window. So, you know. Is that something you consider?
Mm-hmm.
So there really isn't any definite studies out there that say, you know, you'll have 40% more business downtown if you have parallel angle or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, based off of that it's all kind of anecdotal and what I want public input. I mean, that, you know, for me, because this, I mean, I know we're trying to take an opportunity of some work we're doing down there that all makes sense to me. And I know we, you know, a few have had, you know, a conversation, but it's a big deal. It's big enough that there are several up here on council that decided that we should put this in as a separate goal within our comp plan. This is the look and feel. I mean, we probably should be, you know, out there, you know, almost to the smokestack type of, you know, deal. There's a chamber, you know, going out, hey, you know, what do we think would be best from a parking perspective downtown? Do we prefer larger sidewalks, you know, type of things? You know, have the six different smokestacks up there as a vote.
You know what I'm saying, right?
The can of milk.
But I don't know. That's what I keep coming back to when I think of it. Is that I just don't want to make a decision solely based off of anecdotal information and an 8-year-old parking stat. To me. Because for business, it would seem to me, and obviously this is anecdotal, but it would seem to me businesses would not want us to take away parking spaces. But if the 8-year-old stat is still true and 50% is not being used, well then, yeah, you know, maybe it does make sense to go to parallel so that you can get those wider sidewalks, create a better look and feel for downtown. So for me, I just would want to see some kind of definitive answers to that, and then maybe get some feedback directly from downtown. Anyway, that's my thoughts.
Would you yield for a question?
Sure.
For clarifying, Are you talking about just the one-way the parallel parking aspect, or about the one-way aspect?
No, the parallel, I was speaking specifically about the parallel aspect. I know I talked about the one-way, and I guess what I'm saying about the one-way is I heard there was three or four council members said, you know, hey, this looks like a good idea for the future. And all I'm saying is if it's a good idea for the future, it's a chicken and egg type of, you know, deal, then we should start planning for it now. I mean, if I hear a number of $400,000 to $600,000 for a stoplight, that's today, right? So if it's a good idea down the road, it's not going to be $400,000 to $600,000. It's going to be more. So we would need to start, we'd need to put it in our traffic plan. You know, it should show up on all of those type of documents, and we should be planning on how do we get that integrated in type of deal. I mean, if it's, because there is, I mean, as soon as, I think it was Brad that said it, you know, creating that downtown corridor, yeah, I mean, you're basically saying, hey, downtown is not just Main Street anymore, even though we referenced that, you know, these other, but by driving the traffic around, you create, you just grew it.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Thank you.
Okay, Gene.
Thanks, Mayor. I just wanted to share a couple of comments and thoughts. If you go with the parallel parking and all of a sudden you've got 20-foot wide sidewalks, all of a sudden that affords the businesses the ability to use that outdoor space, put out tables, put out patio heaters, and it totally changes the feel and does give you that plaza feel. Mm-hmm. There's a street, I want to say it's Hennepin in downtown Minneapolis. They did the same thing, and it is amazing because now all of a sudden you've got nightlife, and they've got snow, right? But they still utilize that many months out of the year, and there's places on Colby and Everett where they have the same situation. The sidewalks are wide enough. It's not parallel parking, but the sidewalks are wide enough where you've got seating outside the restaurants. And it totally creates a plaza feel, which is kind of where we're leaning. So kind of think about that. Think about the whole patio heater thing. All that can be possible with the wider sidewalks.
Can I comment on that? I think that's great, and it makes sense to me. I would just love to hear from some of the businesses to say, yeah, they would do that.
I agree with you. I think it's not just losing parking. They're also gaining an extension to their business.
No, and I get that, but what I'm saying is I would love to hear some feedback from the business community that says that they value that over access to their business parking spots. That's all. Because to me, it logically makes sense. I agree with you 100%. But at the same time, I don't own a business in downtown. What's more important to you? And in the comp plan, we're putting down there that we want a thriving downtown, you know that sort of thing. So, hey, who better would know than they're open every day? Because it does rain a lot here, too, so.
Okay, Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Is there a hard stop for a parallel versus diagonal decision?
Well, so we do have this evening on the agenda, the next item on here, awarding a bid to do construction on Lewis and East Main. And what's driving the deadline on that is the need to complete the project, expenditures associated with the project, by June 30th, so that we can get approximately $784,000 from the Department of Ecology that is funding that portion of the project. The west side, as I understand it, is in design right now and will be going out to bid approximately 1 month behind the rest of the project, so that it can be completed right by mid-August. With all that said, I'm going to hand it over to either Jim or to Brad to go into more detail about what that means or doesn't mean, because I don't know if a decision tonight is imperative to maintain the June 30th schedule. And then you still have the floor, Councilmember Camp. What's that?
I said, I get that person, you can poke me if I say something.
Okay.
Tell him he's going to do something that's physically impossible. I asked about this before. That way you can't hit me. My main concern about making the sidewalk wider is right now we have the face of the building have a sidewalk, you have a curb, and then you kind of have the road out there, is we're going to slope slightly away from the building, and so as you slope away from the building farther, you're going to end up with this is grossly exaggerated, but you're going to end up with this drop between the existing pavement because we weren't taking out the middle of the road. And so it may be necessary to lower this, which will really increase the cost of the project because they'll have to rip out the middle of the street, which they're not planning on doing now. So that would increase the project cost. And also in order to get everything done by June, that'd be really hard to design since we already have the project that we're going to awarding tonight, hopefully. That's all good so far?
No.
Okay. So that's the big concern there is that you just can't say the sidewalk's bigger.
That's with parallel.
That's a 20-foot sidewalk.
If you go to the 20-foot sidewalk.
What I'm saying is,
yeah.
Run into this issue if we go parallel. If we go diagonal, you do not have this issue.
No, because it's designed for diagonal. You know, we can always change it. It'll be slightly different because we have the coming out here now, and we have the bowler out there, and then we have some parking, and then we have the old. There's nothing to say that you can't. You know, stripe it so the car parks there rather than diagonally sometime in the future. You just let's have the bollards away from the cars. So you'd have to figure out some way to get the cars to stop further out, you know, for not running over people having their, lunch or something like that on the sidewalk cafe. So that's the issue. You know, we could also leave it the same profile and just decide to move the bollards out a few feet, which will require some changes in the contract construction because right now outside the bollards are the paving blocks that we decided to do for where the diagonal parking is. So we're going to change that so they're farther out. We have to get rid of those and do all pervious concrete because you can't put the paving the bollards in the middle of the paving blocks because they come in sheets. So
it's escalating costs in terms of if we remain diagonal, it's whatever the cost is estimated at this
time. We're done, yeah.
If we go parallel with your minimal expense,
you don't get bigger.
There will be a cost increase, though.
No, you don't get it, but you don't get bigger sidewalks. You get wider roads because the people can parallel park next to the bollard, then that's no additional cost. But if you want to move them out and then use this space people aren't parking on top of the tables that's out there, you need to move the bollards out, which would then increase cost.
So the sidewalk
12 feet wide right now.
Will be 12 feet, then it'll remain 12 feet?
Yes. And then actually it'll become a little bit wider because when the car right now, if there's a bollard and the car parks diagonally like that, they kind of overhang in this area. So if they're parallel parked, they'd be out there. So there's a little, it'll look a little bit bigger when you're sitting on or walking on the sidewalk, but the cars won't be as close to you.
So what you'd be gaining then by going from angle to parallel but not expanding the sidewalk would be additional room on the roadway, which could go to Councilmember Rasmussen's question about bike lanes.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I saw the floor. Where would, and just speculation, where would the bike lane be? I just have this vision of it next to the sidewalk.
It would be next to the car. So
car on the outside
sidewalk, bike, and there's pros and cons to that about, doors flinging open in front of bicyclists and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So.
So what I'm hearing is we have to make a decision, if not tonight, then very soon.
I mean, we can award the contract tonight to get the contractor on the way, and then, if we somewhere along the line we have a change order, and say, don't put the mat blocks in, do pervious pavement instead, or whatever, there will be some cost associated with that with the contractor. The more change you make, the higher the cost is going to be. If it's something they're already planning on doing, it's just, shift a little bit, probably not that much of a cost. But once you have a contract with them, it's not like you can compete against anybody else for change orders.
Well, then, I don't have anything against parallel parking. I don't have anything against wider sidewalks. I do have an issue with if this escalates the cost, because this is a big project. And I would hate to see it torpedoed because we're trying to extend too much and trying to reach too far. I'm concerned that we have to have a date sooner than, I would love to have public input, but if we have to make a decision, I'd lean more towards the original plan and stay with that, unless the cost is extremely minimal, and I'm talking pennies on the dollar.
I mean, we can stay with the original plan, you know, have a public meeting on the 7th of April, get input. If everyone says, yeah, let's go parallel parking, I mean, we just don't put the diagonal stripes on it, and people parallel park, you know, so just, you don't get the extra 5-10 feet in the sidewalk that way, but you can rotate the cars.
The cost will essentially remain the same.
The cost will remain the same, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, so I'm sorry, Brad.
Go on,
Ben. Why?
Come on back.
Maybe I misunderstood, but so if we award the contract tonight and we have a public hearing for wider sidewalks
or parallel parking,
and they say yes, why can't we widen the sidewalks?
You can.
You can.
But he said no cost. So the cost would be...
Well, he said no cost.
Yeah.
We told the contractor to do a certain surface treatment here, pervious pavement here, block mattresses here, paper
right.
mattresses here. So if we come out and say, okay, we want... And in order to put the boulders, they have to be in the pervious pavement, they can't be, or the normal pavement, they can't be in the block mat. So if we tell them to don't do the block mat, do something else, he will charge us more money. Mm-hmm. We don't know how much until we ask, but... It might come in cheaper, it might come in more, but there is that risk because they can't. You can't put the bollards in the middle of the mattresses because they fall apart.
Councilmember Hanford, you just yield. I just wanted clarification. Wouldn't that also? Wouldn't we have to go to the option of taking out the center of the road in order to?
No, because we just leave it at the same slope that it is now. So
you'd have essentially a small.
You leave it the same way. You just have you go down from the building and then up a little bit on the sidewalk. So you wouldn't have to. You know, you just have a dip in the middle of the sidewalk. Or grade break or whatever you want to call it, and it wouldn't be, you know, a large thing that people are, you know, falling in or anything like that. So,
okay. I guess. Thank you.
Good. So, to me, in my mind, there's the two things. There's the wider sidewalk benefit, which I think everyone's in agreement that it's a great idea, especially helping with the plaza feel and downtown and changing the downtown look and feel. And then you have the parallel parking, which I think also assists in all that. So my thought is let's get this funding approved so the contractor can get planning, get going, and then let's get the public input, like you're saying, and then get it moving.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of the planning for the future. Now here's my other question. If we do all this, the public says, yeah, do it, we all do it, what is stopping us? And they also say, do the one way. What is stopping us from doing it with wider sidewalks, parallel parking, still two-way traffic, but planning for the future, as in next year or however soon we can do it, doing the one-way option? Wouldn't it be fairly easy to switch the two-way to, okay, now it's one-way on the newly improved Main Street?
Yeah, just put a lane up.
Okay, that was my question, yeah.
You know, you're going to have a really wide lane because it's
still
going to be two-way traffic. It'll be wide, you know, if you want to make it...
Better for parallel parking.
If you want to make the sidewalks even wider, it'll...
Or biking, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or you can go back to angle parking on one side.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. So I'm in agreement of, you know, looking, obviously, you know, I'm in agreement with if we can get bigger, wider sidewalks, that's going to make it more palatable
mm-hmm.
to losing some parking spaces
mm-hmm.
for the business owners. There will be a cost to that because it sounds like we have to do a change order and what that amounts to, we don't know yet, but hopefully we can get that information if we need to make that judgment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think public comment is incredibly important, and I think, you know, hearing that public comment on April 7th about this, but one thing I caution myself in hearing that public comment is we've already been dealing with the parking, and basically what we found out from that is no one could agree on you know, what we should do down there, and ultimately we still have to make a decision. And the other thing I think that's important is, if we just said we want to do parallel parking and you're going to lose 19 spaces, I bet you'd get an overwhelming, we don't want it then. But if we said we want to go to parallel parking, here's what it's looked like, here are the advantages, yes, you lose spaces, you might get a mixed result. And one last comment is, you know, businesses come and go down there. We've seen that in the 11 years I've been here. I've seen businesses that were down there, they're gone. So I try to base my decision on this, and not just what the businesses here today say, but what we think will be best for the businesses that are going to come or in the future. So, you know, it's just something to think about, that we might get an overwhelming group of business owners down there saying we don't want to lose spaces. But I still think that we set the vision down there, the look of it. You know, we all agree what we want downtown to look like, I think, and we have a downtown plan. So that's what I've got to keep in mind as I hear public comment, but understanding that the roads and the sidewalks and those things are going to be more permanent than what businesses come and go. So, you know, I hope as we look at this, we go down the route of, you know, obviously what's next on the agenda is looking at that contract. But, you know, being open to possibly doing a change order and, of course, looking at the expense and hearing the public comment. But I am going to take into account what I think the vision is down there and what I think the future it should look like, not just what a current business owner would say right now, who might not be there in 3 years, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years. So that's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Well, I know you want the public comment. That's I don't think I've would ever see you, you know, say that you don't want that. So
unless you talk, though.
Yeah. I guess, you know, I just wanted to comment on on that statement that you made, Kevin, that you said, you know, we're all in a, you know, agreement on the wider, you know, sidewalks. I think, you know, when I hear that, I just want to make sure that, yeah, I think we're all in agreement that intuitively it makes sense. But I just want to make sure that, because we're saying we're all saying, hey, it's a trade-off for business. But none of us own a business downtown. Mm-hmm. And I get what you're saying about, you know, the businesses come and go and change. But we do have some, you know, mainstays downtown. And also, it wouldn't hurt us from consulting with the chamber or different business, you know, or groups to get their, you know, input and feedback. And that's really what I'm looking at, because, you know, be pretty arrogant of me to sit here and go, well, you know, the trade-off for you is you get a bigger sidewalk out front, and that meets the fact that people can't get in. You know, that's the extreme, obviously. That's why I also would like to see an update to the 8-year-old stat, because if they come back and say, well, I'm losing access to my business, and you can say, well, no, actually you're not. They're, you know, most of the we have stuff that tells us that, you know, hey, you may be losing 19 parking spots, but they're not being used today. In fact, there's another 20 that typically are not being used on top of that. I think, as you said, you know, you present it in a trade-off, because if we're, you know, truly trying to get used to, you know, our vision, I think that's something that also we probably, you know, a little bit that needs to be, you know, what is the vision? If we're trying to create more of a, you know, marketplace, you know, type feel, then yeah, it's the sidewalks. If your main goal is to try to make it so you can get in and out, which is what the whole parking initiative was about, then getting rid of 19 spaces doesn't meet that goal. So what truly is the vision? And, you know, maybe getting a, you know, alignment on that. So that's why I think it'd be great to have the public comment, so we can really, you know, hopefully I know I'll probably show up, have the chamber, and then we get, you know, a couple of feedback, and then between now and then do a little bit of research around some of the small business, you know, type information that is out there on what is, you know, valued. So that's all.
Okay. There are no other lights on. Any other comments on this? Okay, and before we move on, Liz, is the soonest that we can hold a hearing April 7th, or is there an earlier date, since we wanted to give notice on this?
We normally give 2 weeks notice publication, and we have to have that in the prior Friday. So if you look at April 7th, we would be publishing 2 weeks in front of that, which would go on the 4th, so it would go to Friday,
yes,
the Friday before. We have added a special meeting for the night of the 31st, which is new, so I believe that we could potentially do that on the 31st and still make the noticing. I just don't know if you want to keep that 31st specifically for the comp plan special meeting, or if you would like to contemplate adding this item.
Okay, so we'll discuss that at extended agenda, but I just wanted to get an idea in case, as Brad begins the next item on the agenda, it just allows me to understand the timing for when another, you know, when we can have the public comment. So thank you. Okay, we're going to go ahead and move on then in the agenda. Thank you all for your thoughts on and your deliberation on that. We're moving on now to final action. This is AB 15043, award bid for Lewis Street Combined Sewer Separation Project. Brad.
Thank you. We opened bids for this project on Friday, March 6th. There were four bidders. The estimated probable construction cost was $1.25 million. The bids ranged from $1.32 to $1.67 million. The cost of moving from wheel blocks to unlighted bollards along the parking stalls, which we talked about that we were going to do as an alternate bid, was actually only $17,000. The cost of the parking bollards and the corner of the bollards, both the lighted and the unlighted ones, is about $80,000. The possible funding sources for those $80,000 with the rest of the contract being paid for both by the grant and water and stormwater and sewer, a little bit of water fund. There's possible funding sources for that would be the 2015 beginning fund balance, the contingency fund, or the proceeds from the sale of the Wells site property. Just a reminder that this is only for the portion of Main Street that's east of Lewis. They're also working on the other project, which would then be another $80,000 to make the match. So it's still $160,000 that needs to come from other sources than what's already been identified as a sewer and water project, stormwater project. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay. Before calling on folks, I just want to note that the online version has changed. There is a paper agenda bill before you. And the difference is under impact budget, and so there's a breakdown there of what Brad was talking about during his presentation. All right, Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. Brad, Section 4.2.1.3 of the Procurement Policies and Procedures, I didn't see that attached, nor did I have a chance to look at it. What does that actually say?
That's standard and... It's change orders, and I think it's the first 3% can be operated by the department director, the next 4% goes to the mayor, and then after that it comes back to
the government. Very good. Okay. So that's just you're including it in there, say this will apply perhaps, and covering
so
it in there.
Basically saying that there's some.
Yep.
The first, is it 10%?
3%. 3% for the department manager, 5%. So,
okay, so we can have up to 80% cost overruns before it comes back to government.
Okay, that seems a little high. I would hope that we would at least, that seems really high. Okay. Yeah, 18, no big deal. Well, if it ends up with Gene, I'm pretty sure Gene would bring it back to us, because 12 is a high number.
I mean, we'd be telling you in our monthly reports and things like that. It's just that, before it's that. The requirement for the authorization by the
as long as we can say whoa at some point. Well, I'll go ahead and make a motion and then there's another light on. I'll make a motion and then we'll see what happens. So I'm going to read off this one unless it's the same requested action on each one. I know it's
it should be different.
Okay, well then, in which case I'll read off the paper here, yeah. I move to award the Lewis Street Combined Sewer Service Separation Project to Road Construction Northwest Incorporated in an amount of $1,336,663.59, along with funds per Section 4.2.1.3 of the Procurement Policies and Procedures for possible change orders, authorize the mayor to sign the construction contract thereto, and expressly authorize further minor revisions to the extent deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
Okay, we have a first from Councilmember Gehring, a second from Councilmember Camp. Was it necessary to include in the motion, the oral motion, the parenthetical there, base bid plus alt 2?
Yes.
Okay. Base bid plus alt 2.
Thank you.
Okay. So I'm understanding that the requested action is as written in the agenda bill.
Correct.
That is at the dais right now.
Yes.
All right. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, I'm going to vote in favor of this, but I also wanted to suggest that since we're, well, everything we just talked about, that in talking with them to get, possibly give them a heads up that we're seriously considering going that direction and get the bids and get them started on getting the information so that we can still meet the deadlines. Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion that is consistent with the requested action on the agenda bill. And, Councilmember Gamble.
Just with that, that would be considered, just for clarification, a change order so you wouldn't have to rebid the totality of the project?
Right, no,
okay. That's all I was looking for. Thanks.
Okay, is there any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you, everybody. The next item on the agenda is... so this is final action. Number two, this is AB 15044, Ordinance Number 003-2015, amending MMC 2.28, City Positions Appointed, final reading. Gene.
Thank you, Mayor. We've had the first reading, and this is taking the HR manager role and creating a director role, and then this would come before council for appointment, if approved, on the 24th.
Great. Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
I move to adopt Ordinance Number 003-2015. Amending Chapter 2.28 of the Monroe Municipal Code, City Positions Appointed, adding the Office of Human Resources Director as an appointive office, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Cutaback. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Next one is final action number three. This is AB 15045, adopt findings, conclusions, and decision for the Gamble ADU fees appeal.
You're out.
Yeah. Councilmember Gamble?
I'm going to recuse myself for obvious reasons.
Okay. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
I believe Councilmember Cutaback beat me to the...
Okay, Councilmember Cutaback.
I'm going to make a motion to adopt the findings, conclusions, and decision for the Gamble ADU fees appeal as presented in Attachment 1.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Cutaback, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, I would just like to for it to go on the record, because last week was a late night, and so I didn't have a chance at the end, but... for the record, for Mr. and Mrs. Gamble, just wanted to pass on our regret at what occurred and that led to this situation, and our apologies, and very excited that this is not, that we've fixed our procedures with how we handle fees up front, things like that, and very excited in the future to tackle the different policies regarding how we do these permitting processes. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Has this issue been put on the agenda at some point for discussion? I know that was one of the items that came up with the DE.
Yeah, I think so.
Next week?
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
That's it. All right. Any other discussion on the issue, on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. And somebody let Councilmember Gamble know he can come in. Thank you. Okay, we're going to move into Councilmember reports. Councilmember Gehring.
Nothing tonight. Thank you.
Okay, Councilmember Gamble.
Did you get a call from Ben?
Okay, go for it then.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to give a brief update from the HR
yeah.
Finance Committee. I know last time, our last report,
We had given that we were going to be looking into salary band ranges, that type of stuff for staff across the board. We had discussed that. One of the other things that we asked for feedback from Ben is, our current policy and procedure that we have in place is that once someone has topped out in a band, they have the opportunity to earn a performance, basically percentage increase for that year that resets at the end of the year, kind of give that incentive to the non-exempt folks that they, are still striving for a top-rated review so they can get that 2% or 3% or whatever the budgeted amount would be. And I just wanted to give you a heads up. We had asked for some data to come back, and one of the things that we're looking to potentially bring back after our next meeting, which will be this, first Monday of the month, next month, is to consider putting in the procedure that if we determine, as we're doing our annual review of salary ranges process, determine that the salary ranges need to be adjusted, the top end. As currently stated, the procedure says that, basically that those reset at the end of the year because they were given that 2 or 3% for a performance base and they're already at the top of the salary, that we would actually entertain, if the salary band ranges increased during the year, that we would leave in place, because now they're not topped out. Now there's headroom in the policy. And when the end of the year would come to a close, as opposed to resetting, those performance raises that were earned would stay in place and that we would be building from that new base level as opposed to resetting. And so I just wanted to give you guys a heads up that we had requested that data to come back. We're going to be reviewing that along with, proposal with staff. And potentially we'll be bringing it back. Depends on how it looks. But I just wanted to plant that, in your head. So if you had any, questions even, before that. But that, I see a light. So go ahead.
Councilmember Cuddeback.
So what you're saying, more like a raise than a bonus.
Well, it's not a bonus. It's a perform. It's basically, what I'm saying is that they've earned that. Right. But instead of it resetting, because the salary band was adjusted in that year,
right,
that we would leave it, because basically what we're saying is that, hey, we need to catch up to, the surrounding norm. It doesn't make sense, at least the Finance Committee, in looking at it as face value, we're going to be reviewing the whole thing in its totality. It doesn't make sense that we would reset it back when what we're trying to correct is that we're not competitive with, surrounding areas. So if we just adjust the policy to the point where it says, hey, if the salary band ranges are changed in that fiscal year, that we would leave that in place for the following year, and it would not reset, so that we would be building off of that new base.
And that's what I said, because the way it's set is it resets, so they get that one-time payment of 2%, but it's not a new salary, but you're looking at how often does the city look at the bands and look at the ranges, because, that needs to probably be part, in my opinion, part of the HR Finance Committee, that whether it's every 2 years or every year, a quick cursory look at what the bands are and whether we're competitive.
I mean, the bad answer is currently in the process, it says to be reviewed yearly.
And do we?
That's what we're doing right now.
That's what you're doing now, but it...
Yes.
Okay.
But what we realized is that we're like, wait a second, we're reviewing this yearly, and if we determine, and some of the initial data that we're looking at, it's apparent that in certain positions we're substantially lower than our nearest competition.
Right, but then it hasn't been changed. We might have reviewed it, but did nothing with it.
Right, because it's correct. We've had a hard time. We haven't really been able to. From a financial standpoint, and now we are. Now we're in a much better economic position now. There are things that we can do that council wasn't comfortable doing before. Now we can do something about it. Now we should do something about it. And so that's what you can expect to be coming back is a proposal.
Yeah. Correct. So I just wanted to, so it didn't come out of the...
Well, it didn't come out of the blue.
It come out of the blue, type of deal. That's what we're going to be reviewing at our next meeting. And most likely we're going to be asking for that to be on the agenda, for that night. All right. I felt everybody was talking stories about their kids. I think it was last week, and I felt terrible because I know I was on vacation, but my daughter, I have a teenager in the house now. Exactly. That's exactly.
Oh, boy.
So my daughter turned 13. It was a It was a weird day. But anyway, so there you go. So if I look like my gray hair is even going faster or I'm losing even more, that's why.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
I have nothing.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I had a discussion this evening with a woman whose son is wheelchair bound, and they are attending Sky Valley over there. Mm-hmm. And Sam's and Short Columbia, the intersection, the corner with the fire hydrant. Her son, because they have to put their van in the street, has to use the road to get his powered wheelchair into the school. He's had a couple of close calls. And I've got an email, I'm going to send it to the city admin and I'll CC you guys.
Thank you.
I think the city should look at it. I don't know what sort of ADA compliance we have to have, but if you take a look at the intersection, I can see the hazard that somebody in a wheelchair would have to face. So that's coming. Other than that, I've got nothing.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Just want to take a quick second to thank staff and the rest of the council for the discussion on the downtown parking. glad to have it brought back and the quality of conversation or the discussion that came about last night. I'm very pleased. So definitely want to say thank you to everyone. So,
that's it. Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
I have a son who's going to be 13 in like a month, so, which I feel like he's been 13 for the last 2 years. So, had a busy weekend. Last Thursday night, I went to a Maltby Elementary concert, and I'm just always impressed with the school district and the music program up there, and it was really great to see all the kids and just playing drums and all kinds of different music. It was wonderful, so had a really good concert there. And then Friday night, attended the community kickoff for the school. Capital Bond at Sam's Cats and Dogs, and there was probably about 40 people there and just lots of energy, and I think community members, lots of school district employees, so I think there's excitement around that, so pleased to see that, and just want to thank community members who come out and volunteer their time and money on different community issues. I think that's great. And then Saturday night, I went to St. Michael's school auction and ended up spending quite a bit of money supporting our church and the school that my son attends. But it was definitely a busy, community-filled weekend. And I'm happy to see that we have chosen a new superintendent for the school district. And I wasn't able to sit in on any of the interviews. I had conflicts those nights, but I've heard lots of positive, there seems to be a lot of excitement with school district employees. And Ken Hoover is going to be incredibly hard to replace with his community connections and ties, just to the local community. But, I'm hopeful. So that's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Nothing tonight. Thank you.
I was going to say Councilmember Mike. Mr. Farrell.
You've been demoted. That's quite a pay cut.
Yeah. Mike, you do have a Parks Department update?
I have a Parks Department update. It's in your packets. And besides that, the only thing I wanted to add is I stuck some wires in your mailboxes about upcoming the Monroe Community Food Drive, and then that kind of is coming up before you know it.
Already.
Yeah, and I really encourage you to take a look at the images in the report. I think I saw the skate park in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I zipped right by it. So, anyway, there it is. So the skate park at Lake Ty is illustrated in there also. Thank you. Was there anything else, Mike?
No.
Okay. Chief.
Nothing to see.
Brad.
Same thing. We have the Public Works planning construction report is in the packet there. If you have any questions, let me know. The planning front, we had a public hearing for the plat of Columbia Crossing at the intersection of Columbia and May 2nd. The hearing examiner has issued a decision that we're going to be doing next week. We also had a public hearing for the Bear Mountain plat, which is still pending a decision from the hearing examiner. And the SEPA, I think, is being issued tomorrow for the proposal in LAT, which is up there, Alberta, Alberta also. And we also got initial civil questions from divisions 4, 5, and 6, I think it was, of Eagle Mine. So we're buying more property up there and continuing their LAT.
And I know that there are houses being built.
Houses being built in
just north of Rainier View.
Yes, it's on Rainier View.
Right. And right. Okay. So I think. Anything else, Brad?
No, that's it.
Okay. So let's go with me real quick. So last week, another busy week. A couple of the highlights for the week. We had somebody from the Main Street program come in here and talk with us about what it would take to set up a Main Street program here in downtown. The name Dream, it would just probably be called the Main Street program or something like that. And so there was some discussion about that. I then took, her name was Sarah from Washington Trust, insert more words here, and took her to the downtown so that she could actually see our downtown, and took her down Fremont to the entrance of Al Borland Park so that she could see some of the challenges that we have about expanding and redeveloping the downtown on the east side of the downtown. I think she appreciated seeing downtown in person, and we had, among other people, Una Workabaugh was at the meeting, and also Tammy Kinney from the Parks Advisory Board, the Historic Society, and so on, was at the meeting, and I took both of them to the downtown with Sarah as well. The next morning we had Anik, you all remember Anik, and also Sean from the who's her director from the Economic Development Department from the, which is different than community development, from the county come out. And at 8 a.m. I took the two of them and also Una on a tour of Monroe so that the county staff could see the other things that go beyond just the fairgrounds and Highway 2 in town. So I took them through the industrial park, pointed out vacant buildings and some buildings that with uses in them that I didn't think that they were aware of that were there. Took them up through some of our residential neighborhoods, including the farm at Woods Creek, and then the Eaglemont, where the Mainview homes are being built right now, so that they could see that. Also took them through the downtown and over to the east side of downtown. They appreciated being able to see more of town than just what they see, not realizing as you pass through town how many homes and the size and the value of those homes that are on the north side of Highway 2. So that was valuable. And Saturday I went ahead and decided to, on foot, go from my house over to Rainier View, and then from Rainier View down to the downtown, and then back through the industrial park, actually back along Highway 2 to my home. So I went for an hour and 20 minute run just so that I could see more of town on foot on Saturday. And then lastly this week, one of the interesting points of to note that we're going to be working on is there was an interest in moving the Veterans Memorial that is for World War II, I believe, over at Memorial Park. So we will be meeting with the Historical Society and also the school district and I think the chamber, I don't remember, okay, to talk about relocating that memorial from Memorial Field to another location. There's a memorial also over at Travelers Park, and so one of the things we'll be talking about is whether or not there's another location that people spend more time that doesn't flood, and so what comes to mind is potentially Lake Ty as being one location where you can have those two memorials relocated. And then if you have events on Memorial Day or 4th of July or what have you, they are more accessible for events, for parades, or, you know, just for events and things like that. So we'll be having that discussion on Thursday. We'll also be meeting with a couple of landowners, I guess is what I'd call them, interested in doing some redevelopment that I think that that you did talk about last week. So that meeting on Thursday at 12:30. So yeah,
Tequila Bar. Yeah.
Tequila Bar. There you go. So we've got a lot of things going on, and I think that's it. So Gene, you want to go ahead and give your report and then the extended agenda?
I will. I'll give a brief property update, and I haven't even had a chance to brief the mayor because I got the information minutes before I walked in here, but it looks like we're back under contract with Merivest. You might recall that mayor signed that addendum a month ago now. But at any rate, they signed, so they have to move to close now, essentially. So that's looking good, and the person that is helping, it's Merivest, obviously. The person that's helping Merivest market the property has been contacting me and wanting to talk about the residential component around Monroe, what's going on, that type of thing. So, anyway, lots of activity there. And I can say that almost every parcel at North Kelsey, there's interested people. Got another call from somebody that is coming in tomorrow, and I can brief you on that, on another parcel. So it has been a flurry of activity in the last couple of days. So all good news.
And before you move on, Councilmember Camp?
Thank you. I was just curious, for the memorial moves, was there a request to move them, or is it just a co-location plan, or what?
Yeah, no, there was a request to move them. Memorial Field over there is, the track is partially grown over with grass, and the field isn't in really good shape, and I think it's safe to say that a lot of people do not know that memorial is there.
I agree. I haven't heard that there was any interest in the community in moving it. I just didn't know if somebody had come up to you and asked.
The interested, and we don't own the property, it's school district property, right. But the interested had come forward, and I want to say that it actually did. It came from the Historical Society.
Oh, okay.
It came from a conversation I had with Tammy Kinney about moving it. So the idea initially was potentially moving it to Travelers Park to consolidate it with the other memorial. And we will be talking with the VFW, I think, about this also. And so then we were kicking around the idea of being able to put it somewhere where you can have a band playing and things like that, which is harder to do at Travelers Park because of the noise and whatnot. So we'll have the conversation and see where it goes. I'm not gonna try to drive it any direction.
Thank you. I'm just curious.
Okay, so before I do the draft agenda, I'll age myself too. I turned a grandfather a month ago.
Whoa!
Oh, congratulations. That's great.
His name is Knox.
Oh, how cool.
Nice. So, Knox. Draft agenda for March 17th, 2015. I'm assuming that the tentative is not tentative any longer, Mr. Brad, on the mobile launch?
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you. We have the consent agenda. Under unfinished business, we have 2015 comprehensive plan update, and then the draft city web social media policy. Zach has finished his review, and he had extensive comments, so that's why we have it on night, that he's going to be here so he can talk to council.
Great.
Under new business, the definitions and fee determination, that's what we had talked about earlier in regards to the Gamble appeal. We threw that in that discussion. And then setting the date for consideration of Columbia Crossing, preliminary plat. Under final action, marijuana-related uses in the Legislative Affairs Committee report.
Okay. Councilmember Gamble?
When we discussed the definitions around single-family and multifamily, it's my understanding that there currently is a citizen that is in that particular...
I think we had several requests, didn't we?
So maybe we could have that information available to us too, as the totality of those that are, as we consider it. There's more applicants that are, I think it would be important. I'd like to know.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep. Okay. So if there are applicants. I'm seeing.
Yeah. Whoa.
Whack. So, okay. All right.
We'll get back to
that. Yeah. Councilmember, anything else, Councilmember?
No, that's it.
Okay. Councilmember Hanford?
Yeah, just on the final action, that'll be obviously
unfinished
business.
Unfinished,
yeah. Yes, the marijuana.
Go ahead and continue.
And then on the, we have the first reading for the marijuana, which we just mentioned on the 17th, so that was one of the changes. And then I will work with H3O to see if they can be here on the 24th or the 31st, whichever is going to work better for them.
Sure.
And that's all.
Okay. Now, is there an interest or a need, I should look at Brad, to consider moving the discussion on the downtown, the parallel versus angled parking to March 31st? From your scheduling standpoint, does it matter 1 week? Okay, good.
I would like it.
You would like it?
I'm not going to be here on the 7th.
Attorney.
To talk about parallel versus angled parking?
Do we not need... There wasn't a request to have the attorney, or is that a different?
No, that's for marijuana.
Oh, got it. Sorry, my bad.
Would council be okay with having the discussion on March 31st?
Yeah.
We'd open up the meeting to talk about parallel versus angled parking, and then we'd go into a discussion on the 2015 comprehensive plan text.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So we'll go ahead and we'll put the parallel and angled parking on March 31st. Yes, Brad.
Is the angle or is the entire downtown parking discussion group, 4 hours?
Yeah, I thought it was time zones too.
Yes, it's time zones too. Thank you for the clarification. Yeah. Okay. So that will be on March 31st.
Cool.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. Before a motion is made, I'd like to just take a moment to introduce all of you to our administrative clerk. This is Gretchen Stark. So everybody say hi, Gretchen.
Hi, Gretchen.
Welcome.
She's been helping out. Remember, Edie left, and so she's been helping out to provide support within our clerk's office, and she will be in charge of the meeting next week. So she's getting experience on doing that right now. I think that's all that we have for this evening. So if there's a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I hear a first from Councilmember Camp, a second from Councilmember Cuddeback. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening.